3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
The British pound is under pressure. Markets are in turmoil, and the UK government and the Bank of England are at odds.
You have this sort of bizarre analogy of pressing on the accelerator and the brake at the same time, which, as we all know, blows up the engine in the long term.
And Russia's mobilization efforts for the war in Ukraine are facing pushback. Plus, Earth's planetary defense is put to the test tonight. It's Monday, September 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Bank of England raised its key interest rate just last week for the seventh consecutive time, but says it stands ready to do it again amid another market sell-off. The pound was down more than 1.5% today, adding to a 3% drop on Friday. That came after the British government announced plans for big tax cuts and new spending last week, sparking concerns that inflation will climb even higher. The government said today it wouldn't heed calls to drop some of the biggest planned cuts, including reducing the top tax rate for Britain's highest earners. We'll talk more about whether the Bank of England is at odds with the UK government and what that could mean for the pound and the dollar in just a few minutes. Concerns over the health of the global economy are shaking U.S. markets as well. The Dow fell more than 330 points today, entering what investors call a bear market. That means it's 20% down from an all-time high it hit at the beginning of January. It's the blue chip index's first bear market since the pandemic-fueled sell-off in early 2020. The S&P 500 also fell 1%, hitting a new low for the year. The Nasdaq slipped 0.6%. Bond prices also fell, pushing yields higher. The yield on 10-year treasuries rose to 3.878%, its highest since 2010. Violence broke out at two recruitment centers in Russia today, as Moscow tries to mobilize more fighters for its war in Ukraine. An independent Russian media outlet, Mediazona, reports that more than a dozen recruitment centers and government offices have been attacked since the mobilization effort, which orders up reservists, was announced earlier this month. There are also growing lines at the borders, with men of fighting age attempting to flee the country to avoid being drafted into the war. Separately, on Monday, authorities said a gunman stormed a school in a city in central Russia, leaving 15 people dead, including 11 children, before killing himself. At least 24 people were wounded. Investigators say the suspected attacker was a former student at the high school. And Tropical Storm Ian has strengthened into a hurricane as it closes in on western Cuba. The National Hurricane Center is also urging residents in Florida to prepare for a major hurricane this week. Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency ahead of the storm's arrival. Coming up, the British government announced a plan to boost the economy last week. But how will that impact the Bank of England's efforts to rein in inflation? We'll talk about that after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many central banks, the Bank of England has been raising interest rates in a bid to bring down soaring inflation, and it says it's ready to do more to hit inflation targets. But there are also countercurrents at play. Last week, the British government, under new Prime Minister Liz Truss, unveiled a plan for big tax cuts and more spending to help boost economic growth. The plan caused a market backlash in the UK that appears to be extending into this week. So are the UK government's plans at odds with the Bank of England's? And what does it mean for the British economy? Joining me now with some answers is our UK correspondent, Max Colchester. Hi, Max. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
So, Max, to understand what's happening now, let's go back to last week when the British government unveiled a sweeping tax cut plan. That sparked a market sell-off. What happened there? What's concerning investors about that plan right now?
Well, basically what happened is that the UK government presented a plan to try and radically bolster the UK economy by cutting taxes, and it was going to fund those tax cuts with borrowing. And the problem is that the markets basically don't believe that the UK government's target of 2.5% growth over the medium term can be hit. And that caused government yields to spike up and the pound to fall.
So is what we're seeing today a continuation of those concerns, or are there other factors at play now as well?
I think there's a bit of a combination of continuation of those concerns and also a lot of sentiment at play here. There's a feeling that the British government, which sets fiscal policy, and the Bank of England, which sets monetary policy, are working at odds to each other, that the government is cutting taxes to try and fuel economic growth, while the Bank of England is going to ratchet up interest rates to try and stop that growth in an attempt to stamp down inflation. And so you have this sort of bizarre analogy of pressing on the accelerator and the brake at the same time, which, as we all know, blows up the engine in the long term. So there is a real issue here as to whether people are buying this plan. And at the moment, they don't seem to be.
Right. So to pick up on that point, what happens here if the government and the central bank are working at odds? What are the major concerns going forward?
Well, I think the major concerns going forward is that the pound continues to devalue and that government borrowing costs continue to rise, you know, on fears that effectively the Bank of England, which is an independent institution and has a very clear target of 2% inflation. And we should remember that currently the Bank of England predicts inflation will hit 11% here by the end of the year, and that the Bank of England, given its mandate, will have no option but to just rapidly increase interest rates and keep them high, frankly, over the long term to try and tamp down some of this growth that the UK government is trying to spur. So you've got this weird situation here where two things are happening and diametrically opposed to each other, and investors just don't buy it.
Now, we have seen the pound regain some ground against the dollar. What are the major concerns should the pound continue to weaken against the dollar? What would that mean for the British economy?
Well, the important thing to remember here is the UK is a very globalized economy and that it imports. It's a net importer of food. It's a net importer of energy. It's a net importer of manufactured goods. So the weaker the pound, basically the more expensive it becomes to import, and therefore it's very inflationary. So that's a major concern. And also you have to remember that energy, which is on everyone's minds at the moment, is priced predominantly in dollars. And so if the pound weakens against the dollar, that becomes a lot more expensive. So that's the real fear, is that you end up basically adding to this inflationary pressure through a weakened pound.
What does all this mean for the new Prime Minister, Liz Truss?
Well, I think it's a very interesting experiment that she's embarked on. She essentially, the UK for years, and like many other Western economies, had a system of relatively low interest rates combined with relatively high levels of taxation. And she has decided to go down the opposite route with lower taxation and willing to stomach much higher interest rates in an attempt to try and boost growth so that the UK economy is firing on all cylinders by 2024 when there is due to be a new election. So that's the bet she's making. And she's relying on basically trickle-down economics to achieve this. This is the idea, is that you would cut taxes for the wealthiest in society, make it as easy as possible for businesses to operate. And then the money would, you know, investment flows into the UK. They hire more people, they pay people better. The money trickles down in society and everyone's better off. And so that's very much the approach she's taken. The problem is this is during a period of very high inflation. And a lot of people think what she's doing is sensible, but maybe it would make sense first to tackle that inflationary pressure before then doing these huge supply side reforms that she's putting through.
So what'll that mean practically?
For Liz Truss, the big problem is that she is effectively cutting taxes for the rich. And presumably the only way she can pay for it is by cutting spending on public services, which means probably real term wage cuts for nurses and teachers and other government payroll employees. And so she's going to be selling a very difficult package here, which effectively enriches the rich while impoverishing the poor. So unless that economic plan works and the economy does grow very rapidly, she'll be going into the next election with a very difficult thing to sell to the British public.
Wall Street Journal UK correspondent Max Colchester. Max, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, tonight around 7:14 p.m. Eastern, a spacecraft the size of a bus, traveling at 14,000 miles per hour, will barrel into a pyramid-sized meteor on purpose. To be clear, this isn't a don't look up moment. The meteor, named Dimorphos, is not a threat to Earth. The collision, called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, is humankind's first attempt to steer the orbit of a celestial body. Here's DART's investigation lead, Andrew Rivkin.
DART is a test of what we call the kinetic impactor technique. There are a few different ways that we think we could deflect an asteroid if we needed to. One involves nuclear detonations. One involves using a very massive spacecraft to park nearby and use its gravity to move the asteroid. The kinetic impactor technique, which DART is testing, is very simple, where you take the spacecraft, you ram it into the asteroid that you're worried about, and you use the momentum of your spacecraft to change the orbit of the asteroid a little bit. Might only change it by a little bit, but enough to have it miss the Earth.
And Rivkin says tonight's mission could help researchers one day protect Earth from a more catastrophic asteroid impact. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.